This one is Sanyutta 35, Sutta number 60, it's a sutta on how to fully comprehend upadana. Bhikkhus, I will teach you the Dhamma for the full understanding of all clinging. Listen to that. And what, bhikkhus, is the Dhamma for the full understanding of all clinging? Independence on the eye and forms, eye consciousness arises. The meeting of the three is contact. With contact as condition, feeling comes to be. Seeing thus, the instructed noble disciple experiences disenchantment towards the eye, towards form, towards eye consciousness, towards eye contact, towards feeling. Experiencing disenchantment, he becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion, the mind is liberated. With its deliverance, he understands. Clinging has been fully understood by me. Dependence on the ear and sounds, dependent on the nose and odors, on dependence on the tongue and flavors, on the dependence on the body and tangibles, independence on the mind and mind phenomena, mind consciousness arises. The meeting of the three is contact. With contact as condition, feeling comes to be. Seeing thus, the instructed noble disciple experiences disenchantment towards the mind, towards mental phenomena, towards mind consciousness, towards mind contact, toward feeling. Experiencing disenchantment becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion, the mind is liberated. With its deliverance, he understands. Clinging has been fully understood by me. This, bhikkhus, is the Dhamma for the full understanding of all clinging. So fundamentally what the Buddha is saying, if we understood the process, we wouldn't cling. We wouldn't bother to fall into the experience of clinging, attachment, upadana, and by that full understanding of the process, there's a natural disenchantment, nipita. And then with nipita, then there is viraga, dispassion. And it's that cooling, cooling of the mind, dispassion also. Another translation is fading away. So that fading away of delight and entanglement. It's quite straightforward. All it takes is mindfulness and wisdom. it's usually the case that we're somewhere down the process and we realize we've blown it again. Okay, the next sutta. This is Sanyutta 35, sutta number 63. This is Asavati. Then the Venerable Migajala approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side, and said to him. And Migajala is the son of Visakha, who was one of the chief patrons of the Sangha, and a very well-known figure. Venerable Sir, it is said, a lone dweller. In what way, Venerable Sir, is one a lone dweller? And in what way is one dwelling with a partner? And this is kind of a play on words, in the sense of a lone dweller is eka vihari, so that one who is on one's own, living eka is one, living on one's own. And then, and what way is one dwelling with a partner? And that's satutiya vihari. So dutiya is literally a second that often signifies a spouse. So that's, this is what it's referring to. There are migajala, forms cognizable by the eye, that are desirable, lovely, agreeable, pleasing, sensually enticing, tantalizing. If a bhikkhu seeks delight in them, welcomes them, and remains holding to them, delight arises. When there is delight, there is infatuation. When there is infatuation, there is bondage. Bound by the fetter of delight, migajala, a bhikkhu is called one dwelling with a partner. There are migajala, sounds cognizable by the ear, odors cognizable by the nose, taste cognizable by the tongue, tactile objects cognizable by the body, mental phenomena cognizable by the mind, that are desirable, lovely, agreeable, pleasing, sensually enticing, tantalizing. If a bhikkhu seeks delight in them, welcomes them, and remains holding to them, delight arises. When there is delight, there is infatuation. When there is infatuation, there is bondage. Bound by the fetter of delight, migajala, a bhikkhu is called one dwelling with a partner. Migajala, even though a bhikkhu who dwells thus resorts to forests and groves, to remote lodgings, where there are few sounds and little noise, desolate, hidden from people, appropriate for seclusion, he is still called one dwelling with a partner. For what reason? Because craving is his partner, and he has not abandoned it. Therefore, he is called one dwelling with a partner. There are migajala, forms cognizable by the eye that are desirable, lovely, agreeable, pleasing, sensually enticing, tantalizing. If a bhikkhu does not seek delight in them, does not welcome them, and does not remain holding to them, delight ceases. When there is no delight, there is no infatuation. When there is no infatuation, there is no bondage. Released from the fetter of delight, migajala, a bhikkhu is called a lone dweller. There are migajala, sounds cognizable by the ear, odors cognizable by the nose, tastes cognizable by the tongue, tactile objects cognizable by the body, mental phenomena cognizable by the mind, that are desirable, lovely, agreeable, pleasing, sensually enticing, tantalizing. If a bhikkhu does not seek delight in them, does not welcome them, and does not remain holding to them, delight ceases. When there is no delight, there is no infatuation. When there is no infatuation, there is no bondage. Release from the fetter of delight, migajala, a bhikkhu is called a lone dweller. Migajala, even though a bhikkhu who dwells thus lives in the vicinity of a village, associating with bhikkhus and bhikkhunis, with male and female lay followers, with kings and royal ministers, with sectarian teachers and their disciples, he is still called a lone dweller. For what reason? Because craving was his partner and he has abandoned it. Therefore, he is called a lone dweller. Any questions on that? Kind of a delightful kind of straightforward, yeah.
You know, I read a little about the distinction between delight, infatuation, and bondage. It seems like they're all aspects of craving.
They're all aspects of craving, and I don't know the... if I had my iPhone, I could look it up for you. I could... yeah, sure. Go and get it, and I can get, look up the Pali. But there'll be synonyms for craving, for those different aspects, in the same way that there is all the different words that we have in. in English, then there's going to be all these kind of nuances for yeah, delight and infatuation and bondage. So that you know, I think, and of course, it's always helpful to, you know, to be able to sometimes recognize these different nuances of the way of the mind. Okay, the way the mind actually kind of works and how it tends to be attracted. In the same way that there's all sorts of different words for aversion, you know, just the different gradations of aversion. Pardon? Nandi is usually delight. Lavam abhinandato abhivadato josaya tittato upajati nandi nandiya sati sarago hoti sarage sati sanyogo hoti nandi sanyoja. So it's just this, that Nandi plays the. I wonder if he's not using English in his. He's using, because it's like Nandi and Nandiya, so like delight and infatuation somehow, and making a bit of a distinction. There's delight, or sati sarago. Maybe infatuation is sarago, like with raga, sarago. So with raga, like with infatuation, with desire. Aha. Uh-huh. Right. So it. Anyway, there's a few different words of bondage. What is bondage? Sanyogo maybe is bondage. Anyway, I don't have enough knowledge of the Pali. But anyway, you know, it's just using different words to denote that quality of craving, desire, infatuation.
It also seems that the sutta is kind of one-sided in that it's emphasizing the pleasurable.
Yeah.
Rather than the way that the mind gets bound up, it's not pleasurable.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the. I think. Well. I think the reason is of course the question, because the question is around. How does one end up, you know, dwelling with a spouse? And usually you don't end up with a spouse by hating her immediately. You know, being irritated and averse to her immediately. I mean, usually it takes a while. Yes. I mean, there's all sorts of different ways that the mind does this, but yes, this perverseness of the human condition. But generally, the desire is the predominant element. Okay, next sutta is actually the next sutta. It's also to Migajala is asking a question, and this is a question on one who is intent on on practice. So then the Venerable Migajala approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side and said to him, "Venerable Sir, it would be good if the Blessed One would teach me the Dhamma in brief, so that, having heard the Dhamma from the Blessed One, I might dwell alone, withdrawn, diligent, ardent, and resolute." There are, Migajala, forms cognizable by the eye that are desirable, lovely, agreeable, pleasing, sensually enticing, tantalizing. If a bhikkhu seeks delight in them, welcomes them, and remains holding to them, delight arises. With the arising of delight, I say, Migajala, there is the arising of suffering. There are, Migajala, sounds cognizable by the ear, odors cognizable by the nose, taste cognizable by the tongue, tactile objects cognizable by the body, mental phenomena cognizable by the mind that are desirable, lovely, agreeable, pleasing, sensually enticing, tantalizing. If a bhikkhu seeks delight in them, welcomes them, and remains holding to them, delight arises. With the arising of delight, Migajala, I say, Migajala, there is the arising of suffering. There are, Migajala, forms cognizable by the eye that are desirable, lovely, agreeable, pleasing, sensually enticing, tantalizing. If a bhikkhu does not seek delight in them, does not welcome them, and does not remain holding to them, delight ceases. With the cessation of delight, I say, Migajala, comes the cessation of suffering. There are, Migajala, sounds cognizable by the ear, odors cognizable by the nose, taste cognizable by the tongue, tactile objects cognizable by the body, mental phenomena cognizable by the mind that are desirable, lovely, agreeable, pleasing, sensually enticing, tantalizing. If a bhikkhu does not seek delight in them, welcome them, or remain holding to them, delight ceases. With the cessation of delight, I say, Migajala, comes the cessation of suffering. Then the Venerable Migajala, having delighted and rejoiced in the Blessed One's words, rose from his seat, and after paying homage to the Blessed One, keeping him on his right, he departed. Then, dwelling alone, withdrawn, diligent, ardent, and resolute, the Venerable Migajala, by realizing it for himself with direct knowledge in this very life, entered and dwelt in that unsurpassed goal of the holy life, for the sake of which clansmen rightly go forth from the household life into homelessness. He directly knew, destroyed his birth, the holy life has been lived. What had to be done has been done. There is no more for this state of being. And the Venerable Migajala became one of the Arahants. So that, again, quite straightforward in the sense of taking the ordinary contact of the senses, and rather than allowing the mind to delight in that seeking of the objects that are interesting, fascinating, agreeable, then one has a hold on that. And in the sense of one isn't, one recognizes the danger, and one is able to not indulge in that. So then it ends up being a basis of liberation.
Yeah. Interesting play on words in the complex too, is that he doesn't take delight in those things, he takes delight in that.
Yes.
So is that Pamoja?
That would be Pamoja. There.
That's interesting. It's not like you're not supposed to have delight.
Yeah. Well, yes, again, that's sort of the difference in Nandi and Pamoja, where Nandi has the root of desire, and Pamoja has the root of either, oftentimes it's, well, it can oftentimes, there's these many suttas where Pamoja arises, and Sometimes it's based on saddha, on faith. Sometimes it's based on kusala sila, on virtue. Sometimes it's based on yoniso manasikara, wise reflection. So then, through that, then there's the arising of pamoja, and then a whole cascade of wholesome states of mind.
Misinformed desire.
I mean, there's the assumption of it's going to do the trick.
What's the counterpart for aversion? Like delight is to craving, desire. What would delight be the opposite for?
In terms of, say, rather than delight, there would be aversion.
I guess, yeah, the relation between delight and craving. What would the thing that would be delight or anger and aversion?
Usually what happens is the because then that sets up the vibhava tanha. So that what it usually kama tanha is usually the what is being stimulated with the that delight in a sensually enticing object is then a say the response is kama tanha, a sensual desire, and aversion, the tanha that arises would be vibhava tanha, not wanting, pushing away, rejection of that object. So then that's where you get into Dhammacakka Sutta, where the Buddha points to the source of dukkha being kama tanha, bhava tanha, vibhava tanha, and so that desire for a sensual object is stimulating that sensual desire, kama tanha, but then aversion is going to be and again, the mind is rather perverse, so we're not limited. but generally, the tendency would be vibhava tanha, pushing away, rejection.
I said Mahalo, I think, is also like a delight in aversion, like actually delight.
Yeah, and there's certainly bhava tanha in terms of that coming into being of that the personality, the sense of being, the sense of self, the personhood. So that one is then establishing a sense of me within that.
As Jeff makes a point that the key to hindrances, you know, if there is something we're getting, some benefit in it, why we go to it?
Oh, certainly. Mm-hmm. Certainly. I mean, that's there's always the assumption or illusion of getting something, gaining some kind of a benefit, gratification in some way or another, even if it's rather perverse. And just like that with aversion, where there's this perverse feeling of gratification that, well, I really got him that time. and the mind is just completely contorted with negative state, so it's not a particularly fruitful state at all.
Wouldn't that mind ask for a Dhamma teaching in Korea?
Right.
Is he sort of asking the Buddha to give him a summary that if he just puts his mind just on that?
Yeah.
Without worrying about all the other aspects of doctrine.
Yeah, 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 Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that's, yeah, he's asking for something that, and there is, sort of the Buddha picks this particular kind of angle to encourage that monk in pick this up and really work with this.
So would it be like, fair to say that it may not work for everybody?
It may not work for everybody, but it's certainly the that particular monk has asked for guidance, and then the Buddha sort of, that's what came to him, or that's what this monk really needs, or this is what sort of popped up in the Buddha's mind at that time, and they're all there's when the Buddha gives these summaries or just certain angles, then they're certainly certainly effective for that person, as a withdrawn, diligent, ardent, resolute, realizing for himself. But there's no reason why it couldn't work for any of us, because that I can remember with like Ajahn Chah saying that when you pick up one little bit of the Dhamma, it's like just picking up this, but everything else comes with it as well. So that by picking up the sense bases and delight, and cessation of delight, then one can extrapolate that to the whole principles of the teachings, that whether it's whether it's the khandhas, whether it's not self, whether it's suffering, whether it's the Four Noble Truths, whether it's dependent origination, it's all sort of, it starts, oh well, that's all, this and this, oh right, that's how it all fits in. Okay, one last sutta. This is Samyutta 35, sutta number 70. Sutta number 69. This is Upasena. On one occasion, the Venerable Sariputta and the Venerable Upasena were dwelling at Rajagaha in the cool grove, in the Snakeshood Grotto. Now, on that occasion, a viper had fallen on the Venerable Upasena's body. Then the Venerable Upasena addressed the bhikkhus thus, "Come, friends, lift this body of mine onto the bed and carry it outside before it is scattered right here like a handful of chaff." So basically, get me outside before I die. And he addressed the bhikkhus thus so that his body would not perish inside the cave. So. When this was said, the Venerable Sariputta said to the Venerable Upasena, "We do not see any alteration in the Venerable Upasena's body, nor any change in his faculties. Yet the Venerable Upasena says, 'Come, friends, lift this body of mine onto the bed and carry it outside before it is scattered, right here like a handful of chaff.' Friend Sariputta, for one who thinks, 'I am the eye, or the eye is mine, I am the ear, or the ear is mine, I am the nose, or the nose is mine, I am the tongue, or the tongue is mine, I am the body, or the body is mine, or I am the mind, or the mind is mine,' there might be alteration of the body or a change of the faculties. But, friend Sariputta, it does not occur to me, 'I am the eye, or the eye is mine, I am the ear, or the ear is mine,' and so on, or 'I am the mind, or the mind is mine.' So why should there be any alteration in my body or any change in my faculties? It must be because eye-making, mind-making, and the underlying tendency to conceit have been thoroughly uprooted in the Venerable Upasena for for a long time that it does not occur to him, I am the eye, or the eye is mine. I am the ear, or the ear is mine. I am the nose is mine. I am the tongue, or the tongue is mine. I am the body, or the body is mine. I am the mind, or the mind is mine. Then those bhikkhus lifted the Venerable Upasena's body onto the bed and carried it outside. Then the Venerable Upasena's body was scattered right there like a handful of chaff.
So we're assuming the snake bit him.
Yes. Yes. It just sort of fell, yeah. Kind of close. Yes.
You're like your first and second, third person.
Hmm?
Like your first and second, third person.
Right, right, right. Yes. Yeah, just lift this body of mine out and put it outside.
What was the place?
It's called the Snake's Head Grotto, which is near. It's near Rajgir, so in the cool grove. Yes, yes. Oh, okay. That's also Upasena is Sariputta's younger brother. So, sort of, it wasn't just an ordinary other monk, sort of. Sender Sariputta was very close to him. Kind of neat having two brothers of that kind of caliber. Three, yes, that's true. That's true. There were three brothers and three sisters. They were all arahants.
Not so very nice mother.
No, well, she came around. She came around in the end. Yeah. Yes. Good. Okay. Let's have a short sit. Let those teachings settle.